And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is side effects created by the psychopaths. Love those IRN news breaks. And I'm just remembering, we haven't heard anything from Dr. Schneiderman in a while. I think it was 3 weeks ago today. He was on pushing flu vaccines during a news break. Like, what's up with that? And, of course, the station manager did get for me Dr. Schneiderman's email. I emailed him, as well as did many others, asking him to please come on and explain to people why he's pushing flu vaccines during a news break. But apparently, Dr. Schneiderman is a little nervous to come on and talk with me about vaccines. So, no word from Dr. Schneiderman, but at least he's not on the IRN news breaks anymore. So, that's a good thing. Although we know that the flu vaccine hype is everywhere. Okay, so we're talking about side effects of medications today, and I wanted to bring up another very important side effect ridden pharmaceutical drug, which is a total scam on the get-go, and that is, of course, the statin drugs. The statin drugs include Lipitor, Lescal, Altaprev, Advacor, Livalo, Pravacol, Crestor, Zocor, Simcor, and Vytorin. And statins was one of the drugs that was given to that new client of mine that I mentioned earlier, the 60-year-old with no medical problems. But, you know, once you're 60, well, you must be pre-diabetic and pre-hypertensive and have high cholesterol and, oh, by the way, take an aspirin every day. I mean, isn't it amazing that aspirins become a vitamin, okay? But I just want to make you aware that statins are one of the most dangerous drugs that they have created. Now, first of all, the whole cholesterol thing causing heart attacks is a scam. Heart attacks are basically oftentimes from antigen-antibody reactions caused by vaccines. That's where you have circulating viruses in your bloodstream. Your body develops antibodies. It clamps onto the virus, and these complexes are big enough to start closing off arteries. And because your immune system's been corrupted and the little Pac-Man cells are put out of commission that are supposed to gobble up these complexes, they just start causing mini strokes and things of that nature. But it's primarily that effect, as well as heavy metals that have accumulated along the blood vessels, as well as other things that can damage the blood vessels. But the idea that it's just because you have high cholesterol is ridiculous. Cholesterol is necessary in order to make almost every hormone in your body. And so if you decrease the cholesterol, you're going to have much too low levels of hormones, not to mention the fact it's a well-known situation that statin drugs decrease your CoQ10 level. CoQ10 is a very important substance necessary to help make energy in every cell in your body. They know that statins decrease the CoQ10, yet I've never heard of anybody on statins that the doctor told them, oh, by the way, this is going to decrease your CoQ10 levels, so make sure you supplement with CoQ10. So they're screwing you up big time, you know, from the get-go for no reason. But let me just read some of the problems that have been known for a long time in regards to these statin drugs. Now, one of the things that they've reported is an emerging cataract problem. And this was actually published in the British Medical Journal on May 20th of 2010. Over 225,000 new statin users from England and Wales were tracked for several years. The investigators noted an increased risk for muscle pain, moderate to severe liver problems, and cataracts. And the cataracts were significantly increased within a year of starting the statins, persisted during treatment, and returned to normal within the first year after stopping treatment, proving that, in fact, it was the statins causing the cataracts. Now, I want to mention this whole thing about the muscle pain, because when you hear that somebody has muscle pain, you think, oh, well, a little bit of muscle pain is not going to kill you. Oh, yes, it can. Because the reason people are having muscle pain is because the statin drugs cause something called rhabdomyolysis. Rhabdomyolysis is where your skeletal muscle actually breaks down. It pretty much just, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Metabolizes itself. In fact, creating proteins called myoglobin, which are large proteins that can actually block off your kidney tubules and lead to renal failure, leading you into dialysis. And no doctors ever tell their people, their patients, about this problem. So this is a big one, that you can end up on dialysis from having an alleged high cholesterol level, which is not doing a darn thing to you. Now, another thing that's mentioned in this article from the People's Pharmacy, August 12, 2012, which is available on the internet, peoplespharmacy.com. This is pretty amazing, actually. It's a website where they send out email blasts. It's a husband and wife pharmaceutical team. However, they do tell a lot more truth about pharmaceutical drugs than pretty much any other, you know, health-trained people by the medical mafia that I've ever seen. And occasionally, they do even mention some natural solutions, although they're always very careful to say, well, this is anecdotal, but this is what we've heard from, you know, 20 million people that write to us that such and such helped them, you know. So they're very careful. But they do tell the truth about a lot of these drugs. Now, they mention in this online article from August 12, 2012, that patients with diabetes are frequently prescribed statins to prevent cardiovascular complications of their disease, such as heart attacks and strokes. But here is another boomerang. Statins themselves may substantially increase the risk for diabetes. So you see, when I check out people like my new client, it's one of my favorite new clients, this 60-year-old woman with no health effects, but then seeing the drugs they put her on and knowing what they're doing, because they got to know what they're doing. Okay, so they put her on statins, and she doesn't have diabetes, but they've told her she's pre-diabetes because they had her pee in a cup and did a dipstick. And, of course, there's no proof of this. No blood test was drawn, but they convinced her that she has, quote-unquote, pre-diabetes. But then they put her on a statin drug, which causes diabetes, you see? So it's just amazing how these monsters operate, these psychopaths. They took an oath to first do no harm. See, I know a lot of you are probably saying, like, why don't I just accept reality now? But I really wanted to help people when I went to medical school. It just boggles my mind how many doctors are hurting people knowingly, intentionally, and especially because they know if they don't do what they're told, they won't keep their license. I just can't even conceive of such evil to cause people to suffer for those reasons. It's just pure evil. And that's why I warn you on a regular basis. Okay, so a new study in The Lancet, August 11, 2012, confirms what many people were already beginning to suspect. Those with pre-diabetes are at an especially high risk for developing full-blown diabetes if they are prescribed statins. Like was my 60-year-old client. The investigators were quick to point out that the cardiovascular benefits outweigh the hazards of diabetes. Of course, how do they prove that? Because, you know, most of the people that allegedly have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, they have no cardiovascular situation. They have no signs and symptoms of anything. It's just a number on a test. Oh, you have high cholesterol. Let us put you on a statin drug. So this is what's going on, and it's just totally disgusting. All right. There's a whole bunch of testimonials in the site episodes. It's just my vibe. Okay, we'll just drop it in there. All right, folks, there's music. Another break. As I said earlier, feel free to call in. We'll talk to the listeners. We'll be right back.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, barely. There was a lot of interference when you first called in. Was it? Is this E.T.?
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, Dr. Carly.
Yes.
Sure. I got a road report for you.
Okay.
I'm in the Wyoming area of the Commerce Plantation today, and they're spraying pretty heavy up in the skies, so over here today. And I heard on the an advertisement on the radio for veterans to come in and get their flu shots to make, you know, preserve their health. They got to go in and get their vaccinations.
Yeah. And hopefully they won't be stupid enough to do that because, of course, you know, just like with the elderly, they're trying to take the veterans out so that they don't have to pay them any more benefits, and especially so that they don't expose what they know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all the beautiful cards that you send me as you drive around the country. I really enjoy those, and especially thank you for the donation you sent me. I especially appreciate
sure.
that. And I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, those postcards, does the land still look the way it looks in those postcards, or is that just all photoshopped?
Those are photoshopped. The funny ones, you mean?
No, the beautiful ones, like of Yosemite National Forest and all those ones. Does the land still look like that, or is that just...
Yeah.
It does.
I think it does, yeah, sure. On certain days when the light is just right, and, you know, not 24/7, but probably, like, on certain days at certain times of the day. Depending on where the sun is and the season it is and you know, what the climate's like. Yeah.
So they haven't destroyed everything yet?
No, they're working on it. But no, they haven't. There's still a lot of beautiful places out here.
Okay. Well, I'm very envious that you're getting to see it. There's so many places I would love to see before I breathe my last breath, but, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get the opportunity. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, anything
else?
Okay.
No, that's it.
Okay, stay safe.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. E.T.'s a trucker, and he knows what's going on. Actually, I have a number of truckers that listen to me on the road, and I love to get their feedback as to what the different things that they're seeing. I haven't heard too much yet about there being a massive, you know, roadblock situation or anything like that. But, you know, you never know when that kind of stuff is going to kick in. So it's good to know we have some people watching out for us. Okay. Alright, so as I said, the name of the show, or the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is Side Effects Created by the Psychopaths. The next series or section of drugs I would like to bring up are benzodiazepines. And this is actually another article from peoplespharmacy.com, which you can access. You can go online. You can sign up for their email blasts, which are free. And they certainly tell more truth than any other pharmacist-type group that I've ever seen, and bring up a lot of good, you know, research proving the dangers of various drugs. In this particular edition from September 28th, 2012, the title of the article is Sleeping Pills, Anti-Anxiety Drugs, and Dementia, the People's Pharmacy. Now, as it turns out, there are many different benzo brands, just like there are with statins. Some of the most popular are Xanax, Librium, Clonopin, Valium, Ativan, Surex, Restorol, and Halcyon. And this does not include the Z drugs, which are prescribed for sleep, such as Ambien. Anyways, there was a group of French researchers that decided to investigate a possible link between benzodiazepines and dementia. And between 1987 and 1989, they randomly selected 1,063 older men and women from the southwest region of France who had no signs of dementia at the start of the study. These people, 65 years of age and older, were interviewed face-to-face every 2 or 3 years for up to 20 years. Trained neuropsychologists tested them for cognitive function and asked about psychological well-being, health habits, and medication usage. None of the participants took a benzo until at least 3 years into the study. And here's what they found. Roughly one-third of the benzodiazepine users, 32%, were diagnosed with dementia, memory loss, difficulty thinking clearly, etc., sometime during the trial. Only 23% of non-users got such a diagnosis. So the investigators wrote, in this large prospective population-based study of elderly people who were free of dementia and did not use benzodiazepines until at least the third year of follow-up, new use of benzodiazepines was associated with a significant, approximately 50% increase in the risk of dementia. Now, the problem is, as I always say, it's not possible to actually do research where you only look at one factor, because mercury and aluminum cause Alzheimer's disease, so how many of these people were taking the flu vaccine and things of that nature. Most of this research is actually fraud based on that, because unless you have two lab rats, you know, eating the same food, drinking the same water, breathing the same air, and even getting the same amount of care from their handlers, you can't actually make a very strong conclusion from any one, you know, factor that's brought into the mix. But certainly, it's very obvious that the benzodiazepines are involved in causing dementia. So it makes you ask yourself, how many of elderly people, you know, are put on these drugs for anxiety or whatever the case may be? Like, why would an older person be anxious, you know, as they're watching their grandchildren come down with autism and, you know, all kinds of terrible vaccine side effects and all the terrible things that are happening in the world? Why would an old person become, you know, depressed or concerned or anxious? You know, better to just stick them on a drug instead of getting them involved in the truth movement and trying to actually change things. So this is what they do. And I've seen this a lot in nursing homes. I saw it with my own grandmother, who ended up getting Alzheimer's and was thrown in a home. And this was in the early 70s, back before I knew anything. But I watched this woman who was basically a little bit forgetful, and my family put her into a nursing home instead of, you know, letting her stay home and taking care of her because everybody's too busy, you know, the usual excuse. And as I would come home from college and go to visit her, every time it was just a nightmare until eventually she was basically sitting in a wheelchair, pretty much strapped in, you know, peeing all over herself, drooling out of her mouth and just with her head hanging down. And even though I knew nothing, I realized certainly that she was being heavily medicated, because that's what they do. They don't have to deal with the older people if they can just, you know, basically, you know, do a chemical lobotomy and get them to sit in a chair, quiet, and pee on themselves and, you know, not really bother anybody except for to occasionally change them as they're putting them in their bed or whatever the case may be. But the Side effects admitted to benzodiazepines include the following, which makes it amazing that they would even have to do the study to begin with. Drowsiness, dizziness, fatigue, and lethargy. Clumsiness, impaired coordination, makes it more likely Granny's going to fall down and break her hip, okay? Memory problems, cognitive impairment, difficulty concentrating, dry mouth, sexual difficulties, low blood pressure, depression, and difficulty stopping the drug. And so these are the admitted side effects by the pharmaceutical company. So, like I said, why did these people in France need to do a study to begin with? Big Pharma's already admitting to cognitive problems. But the amazing things with a lot of these drugs, and this is how they make lifelong customers for themselves, are what happens when you try to withdraw from the drug. And these are some of the symptoms of benzodiazepine withdrawal, noted in this People's Pharmacy article, but also noted for any one of these drugs if you look them up in the physician's desk reference. Anxiety, restlessness, jitteriness, agitation. As far as that restlessness goes, you know that whole restless leg syndrome thing? Did you ever wonder where that disease came from? I suspect that those are people that are withdrawing from benzodiazepine. But you see, if they can actually invent another disease, then they can give the person another drug for their disease, which is oftentimes a withdrawal symptom or a side effect from the drug. You know, once you know how it works, it's just, you know, you can predict these things. Okay, further symptoms of benzodiazepine withdrawal. Irritability, sensitivity to sound, light, and touch. Impaired concentration, panic, insomnia, faulty memory, depression, headache, fatigue, muscle cramps, muscle twitching, seizures, sweating, diarrhea, blurred vision, and decreased appetite. Sounds like a great drug for Granny to be on, don't you think? And actually, when I was in the hospital, there are many nightmares that I remember from those days. But one of the things I could remember was being on certain wards, like especially if there were older people with hip fractures and things of that nature. And if somebody has a hip fracture, obviously it's very painful for them to use a bedpan because, you know, they just got hip surgery. And what the nurses would do, instead of, you know, having to get up in the middle of a shift, especially at night, pretty much traditionally, your laziest, good-for-nothing nurses are working the night shift. They're playing cards, you know, going out to get takeout food, whatever they're doing. Their last concern is taking care of the patients. And there was a particular night I was on call, and there was this very old, very skinny, elderly woman who was screaming in pain and actually had found something to hit her bedpan with. What had happened was they did put a bedpan underneath her, and they left it there for hours. And this poor old lady with a fresh hip replacement is laying on this cold, hard bedpan. I mean, I can't even imagine. And so I walked by her room, and you know, I heard what was going on, and so I went in to help her and took out the bedpan. And, you know, I was very upset with the nurses that they had just left her like that. And so I went to yell at them, and I said, how could you do that? I mean, this woman says she's been laying here for hours. You know, how would you like it if that was you? And what they told me is that, no, she's a troublemaker, we just put it underneath her, you know, trying to make me believe the old lady's making the whole thing up. And what they suggested is that I write her an order for vitamin H. Now, when they talk about vitamin H in the hospital, they're talking about Halcyon, a benzodiazepine. And this is what these monsters do, to shut the old people up so that they will just be quiet you know, go into a coma and not bother anybody during the night shift to give them some, what they call vitamin H. Of course, I refused to do that, but, you know, most of the other doctors would do anything because they don't give a crap, and that's just how it is. Okay, so those are some of the drugs I wanted to mention. And as I said, I strongly suggest that all of you, if you are on a drug, you must look it up. You must see what the side effects are, because, as I said, you will be amazed how many of the side effects that you are experiencing are actually caused by the drug, not to mention that antihypertensives cause rebound hypertension. Antidepressants cause depression. Anti-seizure drugs can cause seizures. The list is endless. So if you take a drug and it actually works to decrease the symptom for a little while, you will oftentimes find that eventually you get used to the drug and then the problem comes back, and then the next thing you know, they're having to add yet another drug. They never take you off the first drug because that's just not what they do. They just add something else to the problem, and it's mind-boggling to me how you can just keep doing that and doing that and doing that, and then before you know it, the person's on, as I'm sure I've said on the show before, I've had people with as many as 25 prescriptions that they were on. Really amazing type things. Okay. All right, we're running out of time. If anybody else wants to call in, please do so. Another important article that I came across that I wanted to mention. Let's see, where did I find this little piece of gold? Okay, educate-yourself.org. This is an article about ultrasound being linked to brain damage in babies. Now, this was pretty amazing to me because before I went to medical school, first I was an X-ray technician. Then I got my bachelor's in diagnostic ultrasound, which is the ultrasound that pregnant women go for to look at their babies, or people have echocardiograms to look at their hearts, whatever. That's what I studied. That's what I got my bachelor's in before I went to medical school. And, of course, when we went to school for ultrasound, and we're talking, I graduated in 1978, we were taught that pretty much ultrasound has absolutely no side effects. The only thing that was ever mentioned was that sometimes if you left the transducer, which pulses the ultrasound, the sound waves, it can cause some of the tissues to be heated. And, of course, I subsequently realized that obviously it can be very powerful because now they're using ultrasound probes to actually kill cancer. So obviously it does have a downside if it's really focused and pointed at tissue. But in this article posted on the 30th of September 2012 by Robert Matthews, and this was reported in the Journal of Epidemiology, evidence suggesting that ultrasound scans on pregnant women cause brain damage in their unborn babies has been uncovered by scientists. In the most comprehensive study yet on the effect of scanning, doctors have found that men born to mothers who underwent scanning were more likely to show signs of subtle brain damage. So, you know, I'm just once again pointing out the fact that there is no such thing as a totally safe diagnostic test, at least in terms of the ones that the white coats do. Most of these morons have no clue about what's really dangerous or not. In fact, they all, I'm sure, realize that if they told patients about the true amount of side effects, no patients would ever do anything they suggest, and they would go out of business. So they have to play it down or say it's nothing or don't worry about it. Or if something terrible happens after you get the study or the drug or whatever, you know, they'll say, oh, it's just coincidence. You know, can't be related. This is just doesn't happen. So that's why folks have to check everything out for themselves. And I always tell people, don't believe me either. Check it out for yourself, because there's lots of things that you may come across if you do your own research, and it's only going to protect you. Not that you should believe everything on the internet, certainly not. You have to also learn how to use your discernment, because some of the things that people are suffering as a result of what's being done, it's just unbelievable. And certainly always better to prevent something from happening than to have to take steps to reverse it after the fact. Okay, next article. And this is actually from January 27th, 2012, but somebody just sent it to me in October. And this is an article from NaturalSociety.com. The title is, Law Proposes Forcing People into Experimental Vaccine Trials. AMA paper proposes law forcing people into experimental vaccine trials. Article written by Mike Barrett of the Natural Society, January 27, 2012. And you can't make this stuff up. I mean, first of all, people are supposed to be given informed consent. You know, we all heard about that Nuremberg Code thing, where people are not supposed to have anything done to them without proper consent, without being informed of the actual side effects to whatever's being done to them. But now we have the AMA proposing a law to force people to participate in experimental vaccine trials. And the proposed law states that individuals must make a mandated choice to participate in such experimental trials. People shouldn't be automatically enrolled in experimental trials or need to state in advance their decision to opt out. Along with the law will come a customer list for Big Pharma, where each participant's information will be shared with the pharmaceutical companies in order to gather field test data. They can't make this stuff up. I mean, how does this work? That people have to opt out. It always reminds me of all these various, you know, things you get from your credit card company and all these different places telling you you can opt out of having your information shared. Well, how about if we are asked to opt in? You know, because, of course, a lot of people just don't read the fine print. So if they had to opt out versus opt in, they wouldn't get anybody. Or if you have to opt out, you just don't read the fine print. Air quote. Okay, there's the music. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America. Let me just remind you again that tomorrow on These Changing Times, my special guest will be J.B. Campbell of ExtremismOnlineBlog.com. And tomorrow evening on RBN, I will have Deborah Tavares of Smart Meters Kill. But as I said, a very important website you need to check out is StopTheCrime.net. The source documents will blow your mind, because they're putting in print what they're doing to us. And it's very important to see it for yourself, to know this is nothing to do with conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy reality. And these psychopaths apparently believe that, you know, their ducks are all in a row and there's nothing we can do, because now they're putting it right in our face. And to make matters worse, we're paying for it. So I'm hoping that people will eventually get activated to critical mass levels, because it's just getting ridiculous, people. If the government is killing you and you do nothing, what does it say about you? It's just mind-boggling to me that people would, you know, just figure, oh, I'll just go along to get along. I just don't get it, but I guess I'm a mutant or something. Okay. October 9th, 2012. Excellent article by John Rappaport entitled, let's see, The Vaccine Empire Has Collapsed. And this is very important because actually there is a group called the Cochrane Collection, a widely respected research analysis team, which has no ties to Big Pharma. Ergo, their analysis and research can be trusted. And guess what they found, people? In healthy adults, no flu vaccine delivers protection from the flu. It doesn't protect against transmission of flu viruses from one person to another. And, in fact, as it turns out, that older and younger people are actually more likely to get the flu. So, you know, we're getting all this information that's coming out showing us what a fraud vaccines are, but the media continues to give out their propaganda about these bioweapons, trying to convince people that it's a really important thing. And, of course, you're protecting yourself and protecting your loved ones. And you should sign up like a lemming and jump off the cliff with all the other lemmings because that's what Big Pharma wants you to do. And the good news is less and less people are actually doing it, but still too many as far as I'm concerned. Okay, got a slave work unit walking in front of the house. Always happens during my show, so my dogs are going nuts. One second while I close my door. Okay, so here is another article, probably be the last one I have a chance to cover, from naturalnews.com, published on October 19th of 2012. And the title of this article is Three Compelling Reasons Not to Wear Synthetic Perfumes. Now, before I actually get into the article itself, one thing that I was shocked to learn some years ago is that there's absolutely no agency which oversees cosmetics or perfumes. These companies can put any crap in there they want and sell it to you. And especially of concern are lipsticks. And it always amazes me how many women wear lipstick. I haven't worn makeup for years because I realize how toxic it is. But especially lipstick. You're putting this on your lips and you're eating it all day. And, you know, once you check out the label to see what's in there, you may be quite amazed to find out you're pretty much eating pure toxins. Now, this article talks about these three compelling reasons not to wear synthetic perfumes, the first of which is at least 900 of the 3,000 fragrance chemicals used are toxic. Because there are somewhere around 3,000 chemicals that have been identified as being used in today's modern fragrances. And the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health has identified at least 900 of them as being known toxins. And what have they done about it? Absolutely nothing. And, of course, you know, these chemicals can cause problems at the cellular levels once your body absorbs them transdermally, i.e. through the skin. Okay, reason number two, not to wear perfume. It is linked to depressive disorders in chemically sensitive individuals. And actually, I had realized years ago that, you know, as these women are coming up to other women, especially in department stores, and It's basically like a stealth attack. They're spraying you with a perfume, sometimes without you even agreeing to have it done, and then later on you get sick. That these perfume assaults can also lead to all kinds of problems. And then they also talk about thyroid and hormone disruption, respiratory toxicity, and headaches. But as I said, nobody's doing a darn thing. Okay, we have a caller from 336. Are you there, caller?
I'm here. It's Kim. How you doing, Dr. Corley?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, good. I have a little trouble with this phone. Yeah, I'd sent you an article about doctors against vaccines just because, I didn't know if you had seen it before. It's got a lot of good articles, and they do make mention of you in there as well.
Great.
And it was good to see another doctor who found out that homeopathics and no-sodes could take care of the toxic deficiencies in children. So that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good. And also, I've been trying to talk my pregnant daughter into not getting an ultrasound. I had sent her one of Russell Blaylock's articles about, all the bad effects that can have on the baby. But it's so hard to get people to see that.
Well,
the father and the child wants... Go ahead.
Right. Well, let me just state, it depends on if there's an indication. What I found very troubling is that in so many cases... And especially now with this new 3D ultrasound, you can actually get what looks like a photograph of the baby. It doesn't even look like a skeleton. You can see the actual baby. And so many women want to get that done just so they can have a picture of their baby, not realizing that this can cause serious problems. However, if you have an indication, like if a pregnant woman is bleeding or something like that, you do need to know, is the placenta covering up the cervix? There are some cases where even I would say, yes, it's in the best interest of the mother and child to do it. But just to get a photograph of the child, no way.
Right, right. Well, that's the only reason that most people, from my experience, want one, is they just want to know the gender, and they want to know what color to paint the nursery. Who cares if it hurts the baby, right?
I know. So is she going to get it done?
She hasn't said anything. She just said, well, Scott really wants to know what the gender is. And I said, well, you should tell Scott that is it worth knowing the gender, even though he knows it could possibly hurt his son or daughter, because, after all, it's going to be one or the other. So what's the big deal, It's ridiculous.
That's a very good point.
It's more about people's convenience than it is, about the health aspects. And that's what we've been reduced to, Everything's about convenience, and people don't even think about all the byproducts and the health defects and everything else that goes along with it.
And then, of course, if something terrible happens to the baby, and then what are they going to say then? Oops, should have listened to mom.
That's right. Yeah, I send her everything. We're still going over the vaccine thing. Like I said, she's an RN, and she gets her daily dose of propaganda, even though she's an unvaccinated child. It's still very hard to convince family members that these things are terrible. This is an outright assault. And also, I think, it's the most important issue. That's why I really love your work, because as a human race, we have been reduced to the point where now we hand over our babies and we sacrifice them on the altar of medicine. And to get to that point, we have reached our lowest point in society if we're able to do that. And to me, there's no greater issue, because that's the assault from the cradle to the grave.
Right. But it's not just medicine. It's the schools. The propaganda assaults. There's so many layers.
Oh, absolutely. We're just getting it from 360. Air, water, food, education, or I should say non-education, indoctrination, really.
Right.
And but to me, if you can reduce the population to hand over your child willingly, and this is mother and father, As a man, you should want to do everything to protect your offspring. And never hand the baby over and say, well, I'm not sure if it's going to hurt my baby, but since you tell me everything is okay and I need this, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and do it. I mean, they've been completely demasculated. And women, you know, have lost their maternal instincts, in my opinion.
Right. Okay, well, I hear the music. Instinct. I hear the music. The show's over, but thank you so much for calling
Orion
in, Kim.
Orion News Talk exists because the corporate news media has failed us miserably.
Our media has been controlled for decades.
In 1917, J.P. Morgan bought up or infiltrated the top 25...